I hope this series on the 23rd Psalm has been a strength to you over the last few weeks. We've needed the comfort that comes from these beautiful words, and I'm so thrilled to turn our attention to the final words, Psalm 23 and verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, gracious God, we bow before you, needing you, Father, so in need of you, so in need of your touch, so in need of your strength, so in need of your forgiveness and your mercy. We believe, O Heavenly Father, that you sit on the throne. You oversee every detail of human life. You know the end from the beginning. You saw all the challenges of 2020 coming before 2020 was born. And you have solutions. For that we kneel before you and cry out to you, Heavenly Father. And now, Father, forgive our speaker. You know his sins are many. Help us to see Jesus Christ and just Jesus. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Unhappiness on earth really cultivates a hunger for heaven. By gracing us with a deep dissatisfaction, God creates within us a desire for his affection eternally. The only real tragedy in life is to be settled in life, to be satisfied prematurely, to settle for this earth, to be content in a strange land. We're not happy here, folks, because we were never intended to be happy here. We're not happy here because we were never intended to be happy here. We're not happy here because we weren't made to be here. We are like foreigners and strangers in this world, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Take a fish, put him on the beach. What does he need? What does he need to have his life restored to him? As you watch him, as his gills gasp and his scales dry, he's not happy. He's not happy. So what's it going to take to make him happy? Do you cover him with a mountain of cash? Do you bring him a beach chair and some sunglasses? Do you go out and buy him a copy of Playfish magazine and a martini? Do you get him a wardrobe with a double-breasted fins and people skinned shoes? No, you know what makes him happy. And that is you put him back in his element. You put him back in the water. He'll never be happy on the beach simply because he was not made for the beach. And friend, you'll never be completely happy on earth. You won't be, simply because you were not made for earth. Now you're going to have your moments of joy. And may you have plenty of them. You're going to catch glimpses of light. You'll know moments of peace. But they do not compare. They do not compare with the moment that you are placed where you are intended to be in the presence of God for eternity. Augustine said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." So rest on this earth is a false rest. Now just be aware of people who tell you that you're going to find total happiness here. You won't. Guard against those physicians who tell you that true joy is only a diet away, a different marriage away, a job away, a transfer away. The prophet Jeremiah denounced people like this. He said, "They tried to heal my people's serious injuries as if they were small wounds. They said, it's all right, but really it's not all right." Jeremiah 6 and verse 14, and folks, it won't be all right until we get home. Now we're going to have our moments. The newborn on the breast, the bride on the arm, the sunshine on our back. But even these moments, even these good moments are slivers of light compared to the great joy in the sunrise that awaits us. In those moments, God is just flirting with us. He's tantalizing us. He's romancing us. And he's urging us to lift up our eyes and look toward our eternal home. Isn't this the concluding promise of David? He said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is what we were intended to do. Our forever house is the house of the Lord. This house is not our forever house. This is just short-term housing. This is not our home. The scripture says our homeland is where? It's in heaven. It's not here. Our homeland is in heaven. This explains the homesickness that we feel. We felt a lot of homesickness over the last days and weeks and months. It just doesn't feel right. This is why we were never made to live in a disease-riddled, pandemic-clouded world like we are doing now. Now, we all get homesickness. We've all had cases of homesickness. I've told you before about a job I took during the summer of my 19th year that took me 1,000 miles away from home to northern Georgia. You know, the folks in northern Georgia are wonderful folks, but nobody's really nice to a door-to-door salesman, and that's what I was. And there were many times that summer I felt my bones would melt. I was so lonely. I can recall in one particular when I was on the side of a country road. I was lost. The hour was late. I'd stopped to try to find my way. To my right was a farmhouse. And the fact that I can remember this some 4.5 decades later, it just demonstrates how profound that image was for me. As the sun was setting, I could look right into the farmhouse through the big pane glass window. And there was a family seated down at dinner. The mom was spooning out something out of a bowl and putting it on the plates of the kids. There was a dad, there was a mom, there were two children. The dad was saying something that must have been funny because the kids were laughing. They just all looked so happy. And it was all I could do to get to not go up to the front door and ring the doorbell and ask if I could sit at the table, because I longed to be home. I felt so far from home. And what I felt that night, some of you have felt ever since your husband died, or your child was buried, or ever since you learned about the lump in your breast or the spot in your lung. Some of you have felt weary. You felt wounded. You have worried ever since this pandemic fell upon this planet. The twists and turns of life have a way of reminding us that we are not home here. This is not our homeland. We aren't fluent in the languages of disease and death. The culture confuses our hearts. The noise disrupts our sleep, and we feel far from home. And you know what? This is going to surprise you, but that's okay. That's okay. If you're unhappy, you're not weird. You're not emotionally underdeveloped. You're not home. You're not home. Homesickness is just one way that God continues to remind us that we were not made to live forever here, but we will dwell in the house of our Lord forever. Some time ago, I read the story of Pootsie the parrot. She escaped from her owner and came into the keeping of the Humane Society. When nobody else claimed her, Sue Gleason did. Pootsie and Sue hit it off pretty good. They talked together. They hung out together. They became friends. But one day, that bird did something incredible. It flew over to Miss Gleason, put his beak against her ear and said, 1500 South Oneida Street, Green Bay. Is that not the craziest thing? I had to read this story twice. Gleason was dumbfounded. She researched and found that that was an actual address. She went to the house and she found a man, a 79-year-old man by the name of John Strubance. She said, "Do you happen to own a parrot?" He said, "I used to, and I miss my parrot terribly." And when he saw his Pootsie, he was thrilled. And here's what he told Mrs. Gleason. "You know, he even knows his phone number." As crazy as that might sound, it's not as crazy as you might think, because you have an eternal address fixed in your mind as well. God has set eternity in the hearts of men. There is something inside of you that is longing for an eternal home. Down deep, you know this is not your home. So be careful not to act like you are. Don't lower the duffel bag too soon. Would you hang up pictures on the wall of a Greyhound bus? Would you set up a bedroom at the roadside rest stop? Would you ever load a king-size bed on a commercial flight? No. You know, it's simply a tool of transportation to get you to your home. And that's what this life is. It's simply a mode of transportation to make sure we get home safely. Don't treat this world like it's home. It isn't. The greatest calamity is not to feel far from home when you are, but to feel right at home when you're not. The greatest calamity is not to feel far from home when you are, but to feel right at home when you're not. So don't quench, but rather stir these longings forever. God's home is our forever home. That's why the psalmist said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's your forever home. I know a couple that adopted a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. The 1.5-year-old obviously doesn't know a big difference, but the 3-year-old can tell a difference between his new home and the foster home. And when you ask him, he says, "This is my forever home." Won't it be great when we're in heaven and we can say the same thing? We can say, "This is my forever home." Couldn't we use a forever home? Birthdays remind us that we could. You know, I'm officially a man of Medicare. And 2020 saw, in addition to everything else, it saw my 65th birthday. And all those things that I've heard all my life about aging are coming true. I'm patting myself less on the back and more under the chin. I have everything that I had 30 years ago, except now it's all lower. The other day, I tried to straighten out the wrinkles in my socks, and I found out I wasn't wearing any. I've come to appreciate this paragraph written by humorist Dave Barry. He said, "With the exception of dental problems, intestinal malfunctions, muscle deterioration, emotional instability, memory lapses, hearing and vision loss, impotence, seizures, growths, prostate problems, reduced limb functions, massive coronary failure, death, and of course, painful hemorrhoidal swelling, I'm doing just fine." Aging. It's no fun. It's no fun. Yeah, and the way we try to avoid it, you think we could, but we do everything, right? We paint the body, preserve the body, protect the body, and we should. These bodies are God's gifts, and we should be responsible, but we should also be realistic. This body must die so that our heavenly body can live. Here's what the apostle said. Flesh and blood cannot have a part in the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood in our current state cannot have a part in the kingdom of God. Something that will ruin, which is this body, cannot have a part in something that never ruins. And so this body must be changed. Aging is God's idea. It's one way that He prepares us for our eternal home. And it's a reminder that we are headed homeward. We can't change the process, but we can change our attitude toward it. Here's an idea. What if we begun to look at the aging body like we do the growth of a tulip? I don't know a lot about tulips, but I do know that people don't mourn over the passing of a tulip bulb. Gardeners don't weep as the bulb begins to weaken. They don't purchase tulip girdles. They don't buy petal wrinkle cream or consult plastic leaf surgeons. We don't moan the passing of the bulb. In fact, we celebrate it. Tulip lovers get excited when the tulip bulb begins to weaken. "What's that one?" they say. "It's about to blossom." Here's a crazy idea. I wonder if angels do the same with us. The more frail we become, I wonder if the angels get excited when they see the fact that we're about to blossom. "Watch that lady in the hospital. She'll be coming home any day now. Keep an eye on that fellow with the bad heart. He's about to blossom." Here's the promise from the Apostle Paul. He said, "We are waiting for God to finish making us His own children." We're waiting on Him to finish this, which means our bodies will be made free. Do you think our bodies are free now? By no means. The Apostle Paul describes them as earthly bodies. Here's some other translations. Lowly body, the body of our humble estate. Weak mortal bodies, vile bodies, humble bodies. I mean, these bodies, they don't get a lot of positive press in Scripture. Why? It's because they have to be transitioned. They have to be changed. You could add your own adjective. What word describes your body today? Maybe you say my cancerous body, my arthritic body, my deformed body, my crippled body, my addicted body, my ever-expanding body. The word may be different, but the message is the same. These bodies are weak, and they begin decaying the minute we begin breathing. And my friend, that's a part of God's plan. That's a part of God's plan. We can celebrate our aging, because every day we get closer and closer to that moment that we are transitioned into our heavenly home. Every wrinkle and every needle takes us one step closer to the last step, when Jesus Christ will change our simple bodies into forever bodies. There'll be no pain. There'll be no depression. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no end. There'll be no pandemics. This is not our forever home. Now, it will serve for the time being, but there's nothing like the moment that we enter His door. I just want to urge you to set your heart on that. During these times of difficulty, we must have times that are focused on eternity. Heaven is the green vegetable on the spiritual diet. We need to think long and hard about it. We need to set our mind on our heavenly home. We need to continually try to envision a life that awaits us. We are here, friends, for just a moment, and then we'll be with Christ forever. And that moment is going to pass very quickly. Hang in there. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Keep your eyes up. Keep looking toward your heavenly home. When sickness comes, when aging comes, when problem comes, when diseases come, don't let them pull you down. You keep lifting your eyes up and looking toward your heavenly home. You were not made for here. Don't think for a second you'll ever be completely happy here. Again, you'll have your moments, and I pray you have a lot of them. But you'll never be completely happy here. Let your expectations of this life be realistic. Be realistic. This is not your home. You're a fish on the beach, and your heavenly Father's going to come, and He's going to put you in your element, and He's going to do it at the right time, in the right way. He loves you. Let Him love you. Let Him love you. Now, maybe I'm speaking to somebody who doesn't know their heavenly Father. You don't know that the Lord Jesus is coming for you. You don't know that this earth is just a transition place. It's just an airport terminal in which we are being moved from one place to the next. Maybe you're just hearing this for the first time. Well, let me tell you what Jesus says. Jesus says this world is not your home, but that He has gone to prepare a place for you, and He will come back and take you to be with Him so that you can be where He is. But He won't do that unless you accept His invitation. Accept His invitation. Invite Him to be the Lord of your life. Invite Him to be the master of your eternity. He's got such great plans for you, a great destiny for you. And He will offer it. He offers it to you, but He won't force it upon you. Why don't you say yes to Him? Say yes to Him. Just say, Lord, I receive You as my King. I receive You as my Master. I receive You as my Maker. I acknowledge that this difficult world is not my home, and I'm looking forward to the home You give me. You see, the reason that Jesus died on the cross is so that you could become a perfect person in a perfect place with your perfect heavenly Father. I close with a story that came my way through a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another friend who knows how many friends it passed through. So I can't really vouch for its authenticity. Chances are it suffered through each of the generations. But even if there's only a splinter of fact in what I heard, it's such a great story, it's worth the retelling. Seems a fellow was doing some shopping at a commissary on a military base. He didn't need much, just some coffee and some bread. He was standing in line at the checkout stand. Of course, this was long before he had the social distance, and it was back in the days when people would, you know, stand in line and be able to carry on a conversation one with the other. Behind him was a woman with the full cart. He noticed that her basket overflowed with groceries and clothing and even some small appliances. As he stepped up to the grocer, up to the register, the clerk invited him to draw out a piece of paper out of a fishbowl. If you pull out the correct slip, the grocer said, then all your groceries today are free. Well, the man asked, well, how many correct slips are there? And the clerk said, well, there's just one. Well, the gentleman looked at the fishbowl. It was packed with all these little tiny pieces of paper. And he said, well, what are the odds? Even so, it wouldn't hurt. So he stuck his hand in there and he pulled out. Wouldn't you know it? He pulled out the winning ticket. Wouldn't you know it? But then he realized he was only buying coffee and bread. What a waste. But this fellow was a quick thinker. He turned to the lady behind him, the one with the mountain full of groceries in her basket, and he proclaimed to her, well, what do you know, honey? We won. And he gave her some serious winks. She stared at him. He winked some more. And somehow she had the wherewithal to realize what he was doing, and she decided to play along. She stepped up beside him and she put her arm in his and smiled. And for a moment, they stood side by side, wedded by good fortune. In the parking lot, she consummated the temporary union with a quick kiss on the cheek and a hug, and went her way with a grand story to tell her kids. I know. Don't send me any emails. That was a bit shady. That was a bit shady, what that guy did. Yeah, I know. Kids, he shouldn't have lied. He and she shouldn't have pretended. But all that taken into account, isn't that a great story? Isn't that a great story? And isn't that a story that's not too distant from our own? We too have been graced with a surprise, even more than the lady. And she had a big debt to pay. We had a debt that we could not pay. But like the woman, we've been given a gift. And not at a checkout stand, but a gift we're going to receive as we stand before our great God who loves us in our heavenly home. And we too have become a bride, not just for a moment, but for eternity. And not just for groceries, but for the feast. And don't we have a great story to tell our friends? We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, thank you for these comforting words. May they lift our hearts today. May they lift our hearts today. And may you speak especially to those who are lonely, who are afraid, who are finding it difficult to press forward day to day. Lift their spirits, Lord, with the promise of their heavenly home. For it's just a moment, and we'll be there. Through Christ, we pray. Amen.